And I make the last move. the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on sound of his voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy
to thank everybody for coming out. Thank you for celebrating my grandma. And before I get to the obituary, I was thinking about what an obituary means. And it's a conclusion of somebody's life. It summarizes everything that's happened, some of the highlights that have happened in their life. And I was thinking about an essay. The essay starts with an intro, it has a body, and it has a conclusion. The intro is when you're born. The body is the body of work that you've done. And the conclusion is what happens at the end. I thought about that body of work. And I thought about some of my favorite books. My favorite books, they have a turning point in that book. And it turns the whole book around. And everything after that turning point is important. Thank God my grandma had a turning point when she was 7 years old. We each need to have that turning point in our life. If you haven't had it, you need to find it. It's important that you get saved. If you don't, there's a fiery place that you're going to go. If nobody else is going to tell you, I'm going to tell you this morning. God's put you in a place in this life to get saved and to follow him. Where that turning point is in your book is up to you. It can be at the front and you can help as many people as you can possibly help. Or it can be right before the conclusion, and you're not going to have enough time to help your people. Thank God for the turning point in the book. But I'm going to get to this obituary here. You pray for me. It says, Karen A. Boyd Crawford, age 81, of Lima, returned to the eternal embrace of her Heavenly Father on April 16th, 2024. She was born on August 6, 1942, to the late Lita Newland and William Crawford in Lima, Ohio. When Karen was 7 years old, she heard a Bible story that talked about the three hearts. One heart was black because of sin. One was red because of the blood of Jesus. And one was pure white, explaining the blood of Jesus had washed away all the sin that made it pure white. Karen knew her heart needed to have the sin washed away. So she prayed and asked Jesus to come into her heart and make it shiny and new. On that day, Karen accepted Jesus as her personal Savior and ensured her place in heaven for all eternity. That's the most important part right there. I'm going to stop for just a second. How good that is, Taylor.
Right.
Man, her story started at 7 years old. The turning point started at 7 years old. Think about all the people she's helped, Jordan. Think about all these grandkids that have gotten saved. How important is it to get saved and follow God? It was important in her life. It made it important in my life. Thank God for the oak trees. It says on May 2nd, 1959, Karen married the love of her life, William Bill Boyd, who preceded her in death in 1996. They shared an everlasting love not even death could diminish. Karen was a loving mother to Denise Mark Cabrera, Jamie Boyd, Karen Elmer Martin, Mark and Linda Boyd. She was blessed with one grandson, her favorite. I don't know why everybody's laughing. I guess there was a couple more. I'm going to have to find my spot now. Five grandchildren: Andrew, Lexi Martin, Jordan Ann Martin, Logan Kylie Martin, Jenna Cabrera, and Connor Boyd. Most importantly, all are saved. Boy, that's important. Seven great-grandchildren: Peyton, Sadie, Henry, Isla, Harper, Molly, and Joel, who we're going to work as hard as we possibly can to see them get saved. It's my job as a daddy to bring my kids to church. It's Jordan's job to bring his kids to church. It's not my job to raise your kids and tell them about Jesus. It's your job. It says she shared a deep, unconditional love with her two sisters, Kathy and Sissy. Her life was also richly blessed with family she acquired through marriage: Jim Boyd, Jean and Lance Prime, Kay and Tim Andrews, Betty and Dennis Pierce, along with many wonderful nieces and nephews that I can attest to she dearly loved. Karen showed her close relationship with her four best friends that were more like sisters to her: Linda Stringfield, Billy Moore, Sherry Hattery, and Marlene Davis. When you look at the obituary, the very first part after explains where she was born, it talks about her salvation. If you don't think it's important, it's the most important thing that you'll do on this earth. It's not about the baseball games you played. It's not about the accomplishments you made. The most important thing in her conclusion was that she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior, and that her heart was turned white as snow. I'm thankful for the Lord this morning. I'm thankful for what I can feel. It may be a funeral, but the altar's open. While the songs are singing, while Jordan preaches, it's important that you get your life to where he can use you. Let today be the turning point for you and your family, that your kids might be able to get to that place where they can bow at an altar and say, "Lord, please save me. I'm a goner without you." It's important to be in your spot for them. I'm thankful to be here. I was told to keep it short, so next person up would be Billy Moore, who's going to read some.
I think we can all say that we've had friends come and go through our life. But finding a true forever friend is a rare thing. And that's what I had in Karen. We worked together for many, many years. In fact, I was thinking not too long ago just how many years that had been, and it's been so long that I couldn't figure it out. I do know I met Karen way back when our kids were little. We didn't have any grandkids at that time, and it was before her beloved Bill passed away. So it's been a lot of years. My forever friend. We worked together at Memorial Hospital for years, and there were four of us that were very, very close, Karen and Linda and Sherry and I. Through the years, our friendship just grew stronger and stronger, and the bond stronger and stronger. In fact, so often we would look at each other and say, I believe God put us together. I believe God gave us our friendship. A couple months ago, I visited Karen and I went home. And I got to thinking about all the things that we did over the years. And there were some good times and some sad times and some crazy times when we worked together at the hospital. But they were all good times. And there was always laughter, lots of laughter. And I just was thinking about all of those things, and so I wrote Karen a letter. Dear Karen, my friend, you've always been. My friend you'll always be. Whether walking with me right here on this earth or with Jesus throughout eternity. The memories we've made throughout the many years have brought happy smiles to our faces, and here and there along the way, a sprinkling of shed tears. Karen, Linda, Sherry, and Billy, a bond was formed between we four. Little did we know that what started as a working relationship would end up being so much more. We all shared so many good times, too many to count or name. We did some pretty crazy things too, which helped us to stay sane. Like the time that we took our pillows to the file room to punch when we'd really had a really rough day. But then we'd break out in hilarious laughter so hard there was nothing we could do or say. That's a story for another time. I'll always remember your sweet smile and the wonderful hugs that you gave. Memories that I'll tuck into my heart to treasure and to save. The years have come and gone, passing by much, much too fast. But these memories will remain alive in my heart, just as the bond of our friendship will forever last. I love you, Karen.
Standing at the river, it separates the two worlds that I love. Torn between my precious friends and my family, and the place of peace that's waiting up above. Hold my hand and stay there by my side. And when I finally step into the tide, celebrate me home,
celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place. Celebrate.
celebrate me saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone. Celebrate me. I have spent most of my life on earth preparing to take the trip from here to heaven's throne. With the shield and word of God to guide me, it's a comfort knowing I am not alone. So when I take my final fleeting breath and fade into the gentle sleep of death, celebrate me whole, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder. Nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place. Celebrate me saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone. Celebrate me home. No more broken dreams. No more tears to cry. Into my Father's arms I'll fly. Celebrate me whole, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place. Celebrate me saved by grace.
Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone.
Celebrate me.
Died for my
just one look will do to prove it's a room, a room with a
view. Appreciate being here this evening. Appreciate everybody that made an effort to come out. And I know she loved everybody. And if there's one thing I know, she loved. I tell you, it's a hard job for me. But I'd love to do it just the best I can. I'm her grandson, for those of you who don't know it. And I remember the day I announced my calling to preach the gospel. She was my biggest fan. And I'm thankful for that. Thankful for a lot of things, a lot of good memories. Most importantly, though, I'm thankful for the love she gave me. And there's a lot of things that we had in common. And one of those was love for animals. One of them was just a big heart. One of them was just compassion. And I know I got those from her and Papaw and my mother, and there's no doubt about it. Also got Papaw's good looks, whether you want to believe that or not. And, you know, she would tell me often about that. Oh, you look just like your papaw. I'm proud of that. Glad I can say that. But I tell you what, more than anything, I'm glad I can say I had a grandma that taught me the things that were worthwhile in life. Not about 401ks, not about what kind of job and career to have, not about money and cars, and, you know, Lord knows I love all those things. But I'm glad she taught me about church, about family, about the relationship with Christ, about the good things in life. That is the best foundation I've ever had. And I tell you what, when I talked to her, I was up at the hospital, I said, here's what we're going to do, and here's what's going on. And, you know, and I'd asked them, like, what do you want me to do, Grandma? And just preach. So we'll try our best to do that. We'll try to get through this, and I don't see any Kleenexes, and I'm going to need those. So you bear with me. I got to put that box up here. But I'm going to read a few things, and I may say a few things, but at the end of the day, I hope you just know that each of you that have come out, she loved you. And if anything, she wanted you to have a better relationship with the Lord. Because that trickles down to your family. That trickles down to your friends. That trickles down to everything. And most importantly, it trickles down to that conclusion my brother was talking about. When the day of the death rolls in, I like how the Bible says the evil days. As far as I view it, they sure are. Aches and pains and gray hair and problems. There ain't nothing fun about that. But I tell you what, I watched her smile in days I probably would have been aggravated. And I remember the last time we were at her house, she had Jamie cook for us, and she did a great job. But I tell you what, she wanted us to be fed. She wanted us to be happy. She didn't want us to come over and waller and pity and be sad. She wanted us to be happy and enjoy the time we had with her. That's just who she was. And she didn't tell you about her problems. She didn't tell you about how her childhood was. She didn't tell you all those things. She just wanted to talk about good things. And how couldn't she? She was saved. She had the best thing in life. And so I just wanted to say a few of those items and just touch on it, but there's something I want to read this evening, and it's over in St. Luke in chapter 6 and verse 43, and anybody that knows me, they know I'm not long-winded, so luckily you got me and not Andrew, so there you go. But this is the 53rd verse, and it says, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bushes gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart is his mouth speaketh." And I'll just stop there, but my grandma, there's nothing I can preach to you that you don't already know. She preached her own funeral. Everybody that knew her knows what I'm talking about. She loved the Lord. She told you how good God was to her. She told you how she loved her family, how great her grandkids were, especially the one, I guess. But I tell you, she gave you everything she had in her heart. I'm glad this evening I don't have to worry about what I've got to say or what might be something I have to bring up. Everything has already been said from her heart to you. You know as well as I do, she went home. She's not going to be hanging out here to live in a box. No, she went to be with the Lord. Because at 7 years old, she said, I want Him as my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I tell you, it's so important this evening that you know that. Why? Because that is the single most important thing she ever did. And I tell you, she birthed four beautiful, wonderful children. I love them to death, my aunts, my uncles, all of them. She gave us the greatest grandchildren group that I could ever be a part of. And Lord, I've got children of my own. My brother's got kids. We've got a wonderful family. All because she chose one day to say, you know what, I know how my parents were. I'm going to go and do the opposite. I'm going to go down to the house down there, that little old lady who taught me about those Bible verses, who taught me about Sunday school and taught me about Jesus. I'm going to go down there and be with that one so my children can have a better life. Tell me what that is. That's sacrifice. That's not pride. That's not selfishness. That's not saying, oh, you know, at the end of my days, I hope I got a lot of money or a lot of these. No, she just wanted the things that were important. I'm thankful for that, because if she didn't do it, who knows where I'd be? Who knows where the rest of us would be? How many times have we thought in our lives about the parents we've got and how good they've been to us? I tell you, I can say without a shadow of a doubt, my parents have been wonderful to me. They brought me up good, and it's all because of their upbringing. It's about where they spent their time, what things they chose to do, what they chose not to do. I'm glad this evening I can say I am a child of the King. I got saved when I was 8 years old. I was a little late than Grandma was. I thought about things a little too much. But I tell you what, I'm glad that when I was at home that night, I just came home from church and it was a Sunday night. And I remember sitting there going, I know what the preacher was preaching about. Why? Because it came to me. I may have been 8, but I tell you what, I knew more in the moment at 8 years old than I've ever known in my entire life. I've gone to college, I've had good jobs, I've got a lot of knowledge, and I read a lot of books. But that day, I knew more than I've ever known in my entire life. You know what my grandma said when I called her and told her I got saved? Oh, honey, that's amazing. That's awesome. I'm so proud of you. She was joyous in the occasion because that was what her portion was. Let my children meet me on the other side. Let my children come and find me because I know I'm not here forever. I tell you, I'm glad that there's going to come a day I'm going to walk into heaven holding my grandparents' hands, my family's hands, and we're going to go in there and we're going to enjoy the place. We're not going to be just visitors. We're going to be for the good of everything, and we're going to be there forever. I tell you, I'm glad about that. This is not a sad moment for me. This is a celebration. You know, she was hurting in that hospital. Now she's not suffering now. She's not suffering anymore. And I tell you, when you read over in Joshua, what does it say? I want to turn over here real quick. This is something I think on often. This is what Joshua told those folks back in the Old Testament. He said in verse 15, or actually, let me just read through a few of these. This is verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers serve on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you whom you will serve. There's a choice in everybody's life. I'm glad she made the right choice. I'm glad she chose the good portion. I'm glad she chose to be a benefit to her people. And when it goes on, it says, and I think this ties in right with how she believed. And this is Grandma. It says, choose you this day whom you serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. praise God this evening. I know that was her heart's desire. That's what she wanted. That's what she gave us. I tell you, I am thankful to be able to be in a family that brought me up in a place of love, a place of inclusion, not sitting there saying, well, you know, Jordan, he's a little bit like this or that. No, they just loved me for who I was, a stubborn, rotten little boy, a boy who had a lot of things going on in his mind, but they loved me, and they brought me to church, and they cared for me. I tell you, that is inclusion right there. I love that. I'm glad that they brought me to a place where I could feel the love of not just my family, but everybody else who's been a part of my life. That is what my grandma showed me all those years. 32 years she'd been showing me that. All these things about Jesus Christ and His sacrifice, the church and its glory, the people in the church and how they can be a benefit to you. All those things she showed me day to day. I tell you, there's a lot of things I wish I would have done differently with her. But I tell you what, talking to her about the Lord is not one of those things. And when you read through these items and you look at the words in red, that's what she chose. There's not a bit in this book she didn't choose. So I tell you this evening, if you want to get to know Karen Boyd, go read your Bible. Because that's who she was. She had her quirks about her, and she had her things that sometimes I'd be like, Grandma, come on. Come on, Grandma. Are we really doing this? But I tell you what, at the end of the day, I loved that woman. I loved her with everything I got. She was my grandma. She was my Mamma Meg Jo. Those of you that know that word, you know what it means. I tell you, I'm glad. There's not a day that's going to go by that I won't sit there and I might say a tear, say a prayer that I won't say, Grandma, I'll see you later. I'll see you later. It's not finite. It is just a going on. I tell you, I'm glad. Glad, glad, glad she got her piece of the glory that was hers, that Jesus Christ gave her and bestowed in her the day she got saved. I hope you all have that. But above all things, know there was a woman made of flesh and blood who came on this earth and chose the good portion, like Rahab, like Ruth, like all the other women before her. She chose the good portion. And what did it say about Joshua? It said, for generations after him, they reap the benefit. I'm glad we're reaping the benefit. I'm glad for that. It's so good to be able to come into this funeral and not have to worry about what I'm going to say or what I can say. I'm glad she already told you. It's good to be here. I appreciate everything that's been done. Like I said, I'm not long-winded, and I don't intend to be. But I'll just say, I hope you all do really, really know she's in a better place. And when you get sad and you get downhearted and you start thinking about her, just do what she wants you to do. Pray to the Lord. Call upon His name and find the comfort which is in that sweet Holy Spirit. Because it'll tell you where she went. And it'll show you where to go meet her at. And that's what she wanted. So I tell you, we're thankful. Thankful for that. I'll go ahead and I believe they just wanted us to end in prayer. So I'll go ahead and dismiss us in prayer if that's all right. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day. Thank you for the blessing that it is. And to the outside world, they think all this can be is sadness and sorrow. Lord, I'm glad that you showed us that's not true. You showed us that when your own death came. And you showed us on that third and appointed day when you rose how good death could be. And that's a strange thing to say in the world, but boy, it's a good thing to know in our hearts. And my grandmother, I know she knew you just as well as I do. And I know that she had the same experience that I did. And God, I hope that as she walks into that kingdom, you just rejoice like you rejoiced the day you saved her. Lord, it's just a good day to reminisce, to think, to ponder on the woman that she was. And God, thank you for giving her to us.